We're continuing in the Likutei Halachos. We're up to Hilchos Ma'abed Mamoin Chaveroi U'Masur. The laws of a Jew who causes a loss of money to his friend and Chas V'Shalom gives over by causing Jewish money to be given over to the Goyim. Concept of snitching on a Jew to the Goyish courts or secular courts, that type of item. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Shulchan Aruch, HaMosur Hichmiru Boi Razal Moid Moid. When it comes to a Mosur, the rabbis apply super strictness. The law is, you try to knock him down and not allow him to get up. That kind of thing. You're allowed to lower him into a ditch, give him a ladder to climb down a ditch, and then pull the ladder up and leave him there. He's considered worse than idol worship. So look the wording in the Gemara and the wording in the Shulchan Aruch is Moiridin. Moiridin v'leimalin. You bring him down and you don't lift him up. Rav Nosson Zal is going to take a piece of a chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal explains what money is about and what money dikdusha is and when money is misused, and he's going to give us the terminology that Rabbeinu Zal uses there, and you're going to see exactly how that explains why the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch are saying what they're saying. Al pi mashikos of Rabbeinu Zal b'maimar CVC tzedek, based on what Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 23 in Likutei Moran, shekol ho avoid zoro tchuvim b'mamayim. All aspects of idol worship are found in money. And you'll note, we've mentioned this before, that money always has pictures engraved on it. And we know that that's a form of avoid zoro, a sculpture, you know, where it sticks out, the face sticks out. What is that called in English? There's a word for that. And also, you'll note on the American money, for example, and I think in other countries it's like this also, they write, "In God we trust." This, what's the God? This is it. This is the thing they trust, because you see it. Because again, the more of this a person has in the bank, the more he's trusting, he's feeling secure. And the less of this he has, he feels insecure. His security is not Hashem, his bitochin is not in Hashem, his bitochin is relative to what the bank account reads. He's got $300,000-$400,000, or for some people $300-$400 million, then he trusts. He's confident, he's comfortable, he's okay. And if he doesn't, he's untrusting, he's worried. Rabbeinu Zal explains in this chapter in the Likutei Moran that each one of the 70 nations of the Goyim has a different midorah, or a different taivorah, that's their specialty, a different aspect of bad character, or something like that, that's their specialty. And money, if a person falls into the wrong desire for money, that's something that's koilel, all of them put together. It has all evil of all 70 nations rolled up into one item. Vazai hashchinot sayekes olav. And when a person falls to that kind of place, the Shekhinah cries out about such a person, Kalani Meiroishi, Kalani Mizroi. My head is heavy and my arms are heavy. Because Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likutei Moran that people that are steeped in Taivas Momoim are walking around with an incredible heaviness. Heavy. No light step, no lightheartedness. They're feeling it. They're in constant depression, worry, bills. They're feeling weighed down by their money problems, that kind of thing, or by money issues. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that why does it say Kalani Meiroishi, Kalani Mizroi? There's a double. There's two levels of heaviness over there. Bechinas beis pomim ayin kolin. This corresponds to the 2 times 70 screens, shehim kuf mem kolin, which equals 140 screens, keminyan mamoin im hoisios, which is the gematria, the numerical value of the word mamoin, mem mem vav nun, plus the 4 letters. Mamoin is 136, and you add the 4 letters to it, it equals 140. V'alke, this will be explained momentarily. Second. Kalani, I am feeling very heavy. Kain, koshe, parnasose, shalodom, kiflayim, kieledo. And Rabbeinu Zal explains in that chapter in Likutei Moran, the Gemara makes a statement that for a Jew to earn a livelihood is twice as difficult as childbirth. Why? Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that when a woman is giving birth, part of the process involves her giving forth screams, the labor pains. And the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about 70 screams that a woman gives during childbirth. And that's part of what helps the process. Rabbi Nizal explains that when the Gemara says that earning a livelihood is twice as difficult as childbirth, that means that it's 2 times 70, which is 140. And Rabbi Nizal says that's why you'll observe that the word momoin is bigimatria 140, symbolizing the double effort, the double pain and double difficulty that it takes to earn a livelihood. Bechinas beis ponimayin kolin shetzrichen litzoy koydem shemoyliden umarvichen momoin einshon. Because Rabbi Nizal writes there in the Kutimran that a Jew has to scream 140 screams before he's able to generate new money, new parnosa, new shefa. And in that chapter in the Kutimran, that's one of the most outstanding chapters in the Kutimran, dealing with the topic of money, earning a livelihood, depression related to money matters, versus earning money bikdusha, bitochen emun, all of those things. All of that is found in chapter 23 in the first half of the Kutimran. The question, where do we see these 140 tzokos showing themselves? The answer is to a person who's really religious and is following the advice of Rabbi Nizal. This is throughout his tefillah. This part of this could be in his Shachris Mincha Maariv, in the when he says Poiseach es yodecho mazbir, when he says the parts of tefillah that are related to Parnosa, Borech Aleinu es Hashem Azois and Shemoneh Esrei, all those things. And he's crying out to Hashem. He's screaming. Screaming doesn't mean people have to hear you. You can be screaming inside. Tzaka Salev, we've spoken about this many times. Or the person's own personal private tefillah to Hashem. Or for people who are not religious, the screaming is the moaning and groaning that they do to themselves, wives, children, relatives, neighbors, complaining about Parnosa, complaining about, you know, the whole struggle for Parnosa.
What's this number 140?
This is based on the fact that this is something that Rabbi Nizal says in the Kutimran, and he bases it on a combination of two things. The Gemara says, Koshem is anois of shelodom kiflayim ki yoleda. The Zohar HaKadosh says that a yoleda screams 70 screams. So Rabbi Nizal says, this would seem to mean that when it comes to money, there's 140 screams. And he says, you see a remez to this in the word momoin itself, that momoin is bigimatria 140. It doesn't have to mean that it's calculated in a calculator. It means twice as much difficulty, twice as much struggle. We know that there's a struggle in giving birth. And the Gemara is implying that there's a double struggle in Parnassah. And just as everybody knows, most people assume that when it comes to a woman giving birth, you need to be mispalel, you have to daven, she should have an easy childbirth. Rav Nosnel says, if that's what you realize about childbirth, then you better realize when it comes to Parnassah, it's twice as much. The need for tefillah and the need for tzaokot Hashem is twice as much for Parnassah as it is for childbirth. And there in that Tanya Kutaman, he goes into it in more detail. Vihine hamosur poigem boze biyoiser bepoyel mamish. The one who does the opposite of this and destroys this more than anybody else is a mosur, a Jew who goes ahead and causes another Jew to lose money to the goyim or to secular courts. He goes and takes another Jew and snitches on him to the non-Jews and gets the non-Jews to confiscate his property, you know, that kind of stuff. Kizeh yodua. Rav Nosson Zal says this is a known fact. Shekol ho averois rachmona litzlon yesh lahem shoyrish bigdusha. All sins have an origin somewhere in the kiddusha. At validei chetoi, and based on the sin that the person does, the transgression, humoyrid oisai hakedusha elasitrach rechasushon. He takes a certain item of holiness and draws it down into the hands of the tumah, the Eitzahara. He turns it over into the wrong hands. Shezehu pigam kol ha'averos rachmanatzlan. This is what's wrong when a Jew does an avera. When a Jew does any kind of a, he eats something unkosher. What is he doing? He's taking, food is supposed to generate energy, chiyus, life. If a person's eating kosher food, he's generating chiyus digdusha. If he's eating unkosher food, he's also generating chiyus, but he's generating energy that's being used to fuel the enemies of the Jews, the goyim, the enemies of the Jews, the sitra achra, as we call it, you know, and all manifestations of it. V'hakoy l'fi achet, it's all relative to the kind of avera a person's doing. V'chol taiva sheyesh lo shoyrish bigdusha al yena biyoser, And so too, when it comes to desires, the desire for food, the desire for money, the desire for sleep, whatever it is, when it comes to all of these things, the higher a place that it has in Kiddusha, the more the Yetzer Hara wants very much to pull this down to itself, to be able to use it for, to misuse it for its purposes against the Jewish people. Because the Yetzer Hara is looking to chase after and grab hold of wherever it sees there's a more powerful Kiddusha. Just like the Gemara says, Higdil Hashem La'asay Semela, that the Yetzer Hara leaves the non-Jews alone, he comes to the Jews. Among the Jews, he leaves the irreligious Jews alone and comes to the religious. He leaves the religious alone and goes for the Talmidei Chachamim. That's where he really applies himself the most, because he knows that there's a lot of Kedusha, and if he gets them to do an Avera, he's scoring much more points, you know, than if he gets a non-religious Jew or a Havdol Goy to do something wrong. And therefore, if the Yetzer Hara is putting a lot of effort into that, then the Jew is going to experience that the desire, the wrong kind of desire for that thing, is extremely powerful. And when a Jew goes ahead and does something wrong in a particular area, and he allows himself to be drawn to the Sitra Achrei, he allows himself to be doing something wrong, sleeping at the wrong time, sleeping by day, let's say, instead of by night, usually, where the Torah says that the Chas Shalom could bring harm to a person spiritually, sleeping by day, or misusing money, or working Chas Shalom on Shabbos, all of these kind of things. When a person is playing him in these ways, Azai HaPegam Godol Ma'oid B'Yoser, then, depending on how high level an item of Kiddusha we're dealing with, when you do it the wrong way, it causes a much bigger catastrophe. Machmas shehoyrid kedusha govoya lechutz chasushon. Because of the fact that he took an item that was very high up on the ladder in kedusha, and sent it toppling, hurling down into the hands of the satan. Vezehu gam kein bechinas pegam tayves momenana. This is exactly what's described as the pegam, when a person has the wrong kind of desire for money. Because the source of money in Kiddusha is that it comes from a very, very high place. As Rabbeinu Zal describes this in many chapters on the Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal proves that the place from which money comes from in heaven is the same place as which the Jewish soul comes from in heaven, which is a super high, high place. The Gemara makes a statement that there are three things for which you need the highest, highest type of kindness of Hashem to achieve them. One of them is children, the second one is parnasa, and the third one is life. Bonei chayei umezayna lav b'schusetayinus, because they come from the highest, highest place in heaven. So we see that parnasa, money, is something that's very high up there. Vishom kol hanitzutzeis hakdusha, and vishom kol hagavna niloyim. And in money is found all types of sparks of holiness, and all types of colors and light are found in money. Rabbi Nazar writes that that's the glow, the silver and copper and nickel, all those different colors. It all represents lights of kedusha that are found in money. And because money can be so holy an item when it's used for Kiddusha, therefore when money gets sent down to earth, the Yetzer Hara tries very, very hard to grab hold of a person's money, and that's where the person feels the most powerful, powerful desire for money, a desire, a drive, and everybody is chasing after this money their whole lives, and they use up all their days for this. This is all because of the fact that in Kiddusha, money has the highest, highest place. And this is why when a Jew goes ahead and does the wrong thing with money, it's an incredible catastrophe. It causes a super explosion spiritually. Because he's taking something that's extremely awesomely holy and throwing it out into the garbage, giving it away to the destructive forces, chas v'shalom. And again, we know this. We know that the Beis Hamikdash was built with money, with gold and silver, all of those things. So we see that, we know that mitzvahs, the Zohar Kodesh writes that the chashivas of a mitzvah is the money that you spend on it. The importance, the significance and effectiveness of a mitzvah is the money that you spend on a mitzvah. So we see that all items of Kedusha require money. So and money has the ability to give that Kedusha, whether it's education for children, whatever it is. Therefore, when somebody takes this item that has the most unbelievable potential for Kedusha and gives it to the other side, to the other team, it's a super, super pigam. And this results in all kinds of assorted idol worship, which represents the main effort of the Yetzirah, Bechinas Kel Acher, which is called the other side, which is the opposite of faith in Hashem, which is enveloped in money also. As the Pasuk says, Bechinas Ve'emuna Ma'oid Kemuvashom. Rabbi Ezra, in that chapter in the Ketamaran, quotes a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Tzivisa Tzedek Edoisecho Ve'emuna Ma'oid. The word emuna is faith. Ma'oid in Hebrew means very, and the word ma'oid in Hebrew means money. When we say in the Kriya Shema, Uvechol ma'odecha, to serve Hashem with all your ma'odecha, the Gemara says it means with all your money. So Rabbeinu Zal there shows that the emunah of a person is reflected by his money. And again, it's by when a person says, I really believe in what somebody comes to you and says, I want to show you this new project that I'm working on. And the person sits for 3 hours hearing everything the guy has to say, and he says, I want you to know I really believe in your project. I hope you're very successful, have a good day, and I'll see you later. That's pure baloney. Because if you believed in that project, you would say, how do I get into this? How do I get involved? How much of a percentage is available for me to purchase here? Can I buy 70%, 30%? Tell me how much I'm in. To the extent that a person is interested in buying into something, that's to the extent that they believe in it. To the extent that a person is willing to buy into Hashem, there's three pairs of tzitzis. There's the 20 shekel tzitzis, and there's the 30 shekel tzitzis, and the 40 shekel tzitzis. Again, we're not talking about where there's three storekeepers selling the same thing for different prices. I'm talking about three levels of quality. To the degree that a person believes in Hashem, he's going to go for the best. What are you talking about? I want the best. If this is something that's, if it's a religious item, of course I'm going to want the best when, if I believe. And relative to my faith is relative to how much I'm willing to invest. So Rav Nosson Zal writes here, the emunah is measured by mamoin, the emunah ma'oid, and lahavdil, when the money is being used the wrong way, you should know that it's the opposite of faith in Hashem. It's atheism. Because when a person is using money against Hashem or not for Hashem, then he's promoting atheism, chas v'shalom. Avodah Zarah. There's a variety of examples of using money the wrong way. One example is using someone else's money, chas v'shalom, without their permission, without their this. Another example is using money that's not for mitzvah. Using money not for mitzvah, and not even for using money for sin, actual sin, chas v'shalom.
How do you refer to sin?
An example would be if a person needs so much to eat. A person needs a certain, and the Rambam writes the correct quantity at a meal is supposed to be 2/3 full. You're supposed to, when you finish the meal, you're supposed to be maximum 2/3 full. If a person goes into a restaurant, and instead of buying one sandwich and one cup of it, which would, at the end of which they would be 2/3 full, they buy two sandwiches plus a dessert plus a this, that extra dollar, or 50 cents or 30, whatever it is called moisrois. It's something that was unnecessary. It didn't help the body. And if it's not helping the body, it's hurting the body, or it's hurting the neshama. a person does it right, you know, again, you bake a cake. If you put in 3 cups of sugar, it's a delicious cake. If you put in 4 cups of sugar, it's a less delicious cake. It's that simple. There's a certain formula that works. And if you do less or more, it's not going to be the same. These are some examples. We're going to have hundreds of pages in the Likutei Halachos explaining Taivas Momoin and every all aspects of it. One item. The Gemara says that the Jews are very lucky. Okay. What question was just raised? Let's say when it comes to tzedakah collectors, some that appear to be more sincere and some that appear to be less sincere, more true and less true. What's the story? The answer is the Gemara says in one place, how lucky is the Jewish people that there are cheats, that there are some fake tzedakah collectors. Because if there weren't, if everyone collecting charity were 100% legitimate, then if a Jew ever didn't give, or didn't give the right amount, Hashem would cut his head off. It depends on each situation. It depends on how much you have, and it depends on how much the person needs. So the Gemara says, in a way, it's a tremendous benefit to us that there are some fakes and phonies and everything, so that therefore, Hashem doesn't burn a person the second he does something slightly wrong when it comes to tzedakah. That's one item. That's one statement to put somewhere in your library and on your memory bank. There's another statement of an attitude. This is something I heard from all of my rabbis, that within tzedakah, there's several different slots. There's Meiser, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara speak about a certain Meiser, which is in many ways the choicest tzedakah of a person. That's the choicest portion of your charity. And if a person's giving that sum, that kind of sum of money, whether his Meiser is 5 shekel or it's 50,000 shekel, it's the same thing. To him, it's 10% of what he earned or what he got. That's something that a person has to use very careful, good judgment and investigation and everything as to where he's going to invest it. Whereas, the attitude that a religious Jew should have when it comes to the whole slew of tzedakahs is to try to avoid sending anybody away with zero. Any Jew that puts his hand out, to try usually to give something. What's the something? Each person relative to their standard. For one person, it's 10 agurot. For another person, it might be a half a shekel. But to try never to turn a Jew, because the most illegitimate Jews today are usually also in need. Because based on standards of living today, and based on everything, which Jew isn't poor today? Which Jew, you know, in a way you could look at it that way. But again, that's if you're going to give 10 agurot. If somebody's asking for $25, $100, $50, or whatever to that person is that kind of sum, the person would be very wrong not to be sure he knows who he's giving it to and what it's going for before doing it. One time when the Jews were misbehaving, he prayed to Hashem, "Hashem, I beg of you, don't let their charity go to the right places." Because he understood that when a Jew is zeicher, that his charity is going to the right place, it's a spectacular accomplishment. It's an unbelievable thing. So that this is something that a Jew has to pray for. This is one of the most precious things in your life, your money. And a Jew has to pray, Hashem, give me the privilege of being zeicher to be able to differentiate between true and fake, and between better and still better and best, and that I should be from those privileged Jews that gets to give my money to what you, Hashem, consider to be the best causes. What some of that is discussed in Shulchan Aruch. There are chapters in Shulchan Aruch that describe some of the qualifications for charities, and some of it a person has to learn, you know, from experience. Vehine hamosur poigem boze biyoser the poyel mamish. The example of the Mosur, Rav Nosson Zal says, is the one who's doing the worst crime actively in this field of dealing with money. A Jew goes ahead, Chas Hashem Rachmana Litzlan, and gets another Jew's money to be taken away by non-Jews. Ki hu moiser mamon Yisrael, shu mamon bigdusha, biyad goy v'onas. He's taking Jewish money, which is holy money, and giving it away to non-Jew or to a thief, you know, a burglar. Ki Yisrael bichlal heim kulam kedoshim. because the Jewish people as a nation are referred to as Goy Kodosh, a holy nation. Umamoin shel Yisrael hu bechinas mamoin dikdusha, and Jewish money is considered mamoin dikdusha, holy money. Sheshom mushroshim nafshos magdoshim. That's where the Jewish souls are rooted. They come from the same place as the money comes from. Vishom kol mitzutzei sakdusha, and there's all kinds of sparks of kedusha that are found there. Vehu moitzi zeh hamamon hakodesh umoisrei sabiat goy sheim akum bechinas avodah zarah kanal, and he's taking this and turning it over to a goy who's plugged into idols and that kind of stuff. Nimtza she'oisa mamon hakodesh bechinas avodah zarah b'poyel mamish. He's actually taking holy money, converting it to idol. You know, he's transferring it into the idol. Vehu garua b'yoisa. This is the worst of the worst. This is much, much worse than a Jew who has a desire for a fancy car or other things, you know, which are wrong, which are bad, but nowhere near as bad as this person who does this crime. Kisham hapigam alide hataiva levad shemoyred hashefa kodesh elataiva sheyosham achiza sasitrachra avol ze poigem bepoil kanal. Because when a person has desires and stuff like that, it's wrong and it's destructive, but it causes a little bit of destruction. But when somebody physically takes Jewish money and turns it over to Goy, that's like 50 levels worse. 50 levels worse than the Jew who should be satisfied with his Subaru, this, and he wants Volvo, he wants Rolls Royce, he wants, you know, that kind of thing. The Alkane, Moiridinoi Soivoloi Mar. Rav Nosson Zal says, and this is why the Shulchan Aruch says, what's the punishment for this guy? Push him down and don't let him get up. The example is that you're allowed to, such a person, you're allowed to mislead him into a ditch, to lead him down to the basement, and then pull up the ladder, and don't let him come up, and have him die there. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Ki pigam hanal, shu bechinas pigam taibas momoin, hu bechinas pigam hakuf mem kolin kanal. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains. A person who messes up in money, it means he's messing up in the area related to these 140 screams that we spoke about. The Alkein Hamamoin Nikra Yikum. This is why we find in the Chumash one of the nicknames for money is Yikum. Where do we see this? Kemosha Mazal, as the Gemara says, there's a pasuk that says about the Jewish people, Ve'es Hayikum Asher Baraglehem, and the Yikum, which was by their feet. And the Gemara says, Ze hamomoin shema amido al raglo. This refers to the person's wealth, which is what stands him up on his feet. What gives the person the ability to stand up tall is his money, is wealth. So we see that Yikum is called money. Bechinas kuf mem hanal. The concept of the kum, the 140 screens, which is kuf mem, that same word. Ki yef shel hoyled mamoin ki malidei bechinas kuf mem kolon kanal. Because Rabbeinu Zal said in Likutei Moran, it's impossible for money to be created, for parnosa to be generated without these 140 screens. Ubishvil ze nikra hamamoin yikum. This is why the Gemara refers to money as yikum, loshen tikuma. Because that's what stands the person up. Lakum means to get up. Bechinas kuf memanal, tied into these 140 screams that we spoke about. Vizeh shekosav Rabbeinu Zal shon, and this is why the wording that Rabbeinu Zal uses in Likutei Moran over there, watch this wording. Shekol hanefilois al yidei taivas mamayim. Rabbeinu Zal writes over there that all kinds of falls that a Jew experiences, falling and fall, is all based on taivas mamayim. That the wrong kind of desire for money will lead a person to take all kinds of falls. Hepech komanal, which is the opposite of kochmem, which means to stand up, to rise up. Ubishvil ze noifel aide shepogam bechinas kufmem kolon kanal. Avol kishezoich elavor bisholo in derech elo akufmem kolon. Whereas, when a Jew passes through these 140 screens properly, he's not looking for unnecessary money. He's not looking for unnecessary wealth. He's looking to have what he needs to live. He's looking to have what he needs to serve Hashem with. V'yotzei v'olam isham b'sholem, and he comes out of all of that solid. V'zeichel lohele do'avriach mamadikdusha idezer, and he's zeichel to produce, to generate holy money through his 140 screams. As idezer yesh loy tekuma alidea kuf mem kolin. That person, his 140 screams stand him up. They make him solid. Shehekim v'heirim oisam elakdusha. He has elevated and stood the money up in the framework of holiness. This is why the Gemara shows that the Torah refers to money as yikum. It stands the person up, because when a person is dealing with money bigdusha the right way, he's plugged into this kuf mem kolin, these 140 screams. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, I'll show you a very interesting thing. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says that at one point the Maaras HaMachpelah belonged to Ephraim, who was a Russia, Ephraim Hachiti. He owned the Maaras HaMachpelah, and then Avraham Avinu told him, I need it to bury my wife, and he said, gladly take it, it's yours. And Avraham said, no thanks. How much is it going to cost? Cost you? What are you talking about? Cost? We're buddies. How much is it going to cost me? $400,000, US, no shkalim, no Deutsch, you know, the real stuff. And Avraham Avinu paid him in full. And then the pasuk says, "Vayokom sedei hamachpelah li Avraham lemikneh." The Maaras HaMachpelah stood up for Avraham Avinu, you know, to use for his that entire field in which the Maaras was for his pasture, for his animals, and that, etc., etc. The Torah uses the word Vayokom Sdei Ephraim. The field of Ephraim suddenly was stood up. Upirish Rashi. Rashi says, what do you mean? The field stood up at allegiance? Tukuma Hoysaloi. The field suddenly became an upstanding item. Sheyotza miyadam liyadoi. It left the hands of Ephraim and entered into the hands of Avraham Avinu. Ephraim, Rav Nosson Zal doesn't go into this over here. Ephraim is the symbol of Taivas Mamayim. Because a person who has Taivas Mamayim is a person who has Ayin Hara. Is a person who, whenever he sees his neighbor got a Valvo, then how can I not have a Valvo? Or his neighbor bought a new this, he bought a new saw, how come I can't have a new saw? Or anything, in any kind of item, that Ayin Ra, that eye that he's not happy for the other person, when he sees somebody else get something, whether he has it or not, he's not happy, there's an evil in him about anything anybody else has. It's brought that the word Ephraim is exactly Bigimatria Ra Ayin, which is 400. Avraham Avinu saw that and understood that to neutralize him, to zap him, to destroy him completely, he had to give him $400. Because 400 is Bigimatria Ephraim. It's Bigimatria Ra'ayin. And by doing that, he zeroed him. He took him down to zero. And he destroyed... Avraham Avinu showed that Avraham Avinu didn't have Taivas Mamayim. You want money, money, money. To me, the money is junk. It's only useful when I spend it for mitzvah. Maaras, this is going to be the choicest place for tefillah, for Klal Yisrael. This Chevron, this Maaras HaMachpelah, gladly, how much money? He wasn't looking to bargain. He didn't say, no, can I have it for $397? Mitzvah, no bargaining. The Shulchan Aruch writes that the Arizal, when he went to buy his lulav and esrig and things, he would put his wallet on the table and he would say, take what you need. He would say to the storekeeper, take whatever you want. That was an attitude towards mitzvah, an attitude towards using the money for kedusha. Ki kol hakinyonim shel Avraham hein b'chinas kuf mem. Because all the purchases that Avraham Avinu made were within this category of this. V'zeh b'chinas, Rav Nosson Zal had been speaking about the fact that Rabbeinu Zal wrote in Likutei Moran that when a person, the searching for parnosa and livelihood and everything is twice as difficult as a woman giving birth. That's a statement that the Gemara makes. And Rabbeinu Zal said that what that means on a practical level is that when the Zohar HaKadosh says that a woman giving birth, she moans and gives screams, 70 screams, in order to give birth, that means in order to generate parnasa, in order to earn a livelihood, a person has to scream 140 screams, double that. And Rabbeinu Zal proved it from certain psukim. And the term for 140 is kuf mem in Hebrew, the word kum. And Rav Nosson Zal discussed this a little bit before. Now, he's grabbing in his vast resources of knowledge of Torah, grabbing the pasuk in the entire Torah, which associates Taivas Mamoin with this term Kom. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel Anavi, chapter 7, pasuk 11, pasuk Yud Aleph, where it says over there, Hechomos, stolen money, will rise up Lemate Resha, and be used as a stick to punish the Rishoim. Those people who are evil people who steal money and everything, their stolen money that they have in their possession, everything, will stand up to beat them. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Hechomos zebechinas pigam taivas mamoin. This term chomos is an umbrella term to refer to all types of taivas mamoin, you know, money that's being mishandled or misused. Shaideze bolig zelos, which is what, it's the desire, the illegal kind of desire for money that leads people to stealing. Aideze nifgam bechinas kom. And this messes up the kom that we spoke about previously. Bechinas hakufmem kolananal. The 140 screams to Hashem trying to bring kosher money into the world, trying to bring earn a legitimate livelihood. Venase mate resha chas v'shom. And this stolen money becomes a stick, you know, that punishes, a stick that hits the Rishoim. Avol yosid, whereas in the future, sheyikuyam, when it will become fulfilled, the pasuk, bayoyim hahu yashlich odom eseli lekaspoi veseli lezovoi, all people in the world are going to discard their idols of gold and silver, which means their worship of money. People are going to discard that. She is batel taivas mamoin. V'yavru v'yachloifu chevle leida, and the whole concept of pain in childbirth will be eliminated. V'tetzamach v'toilad ha'yeshua, and the true salvation will blossom forth. Oz nemar, the pasuk says about that period, nafla loisosif. She has fallen, the Jewish people have fallen, loisosif, but they will never fall again. They finished falling. Kum besulas Yisrael. Rise up, Jewish maiden, ki kvar savalnu chevle leida, because we've suffered all the birth pains already. V'tzaknu akuf mem kolin, and we've screamed the 140 screams already. Ad shenoyel da hayeshua, to the point where Hashem has given us that final salvation. Umeata tihi elonu tekuma, and from now on there can be an upstandingness. B'mheira b'yameinu amein. We should be zecher to see it, you know, in the near future. With this, Rav Nosson Zal closes this halacha.